And welcome into the Drew Buzkney Show on this, what was a snowy Tuesday, episode 2 back for the winter term, and it's my pleasure to have two guests on here today, Will and Brody, two of my close friends, two sports aficionados, and let's just jump right into it. Recent breaking news that the New England Patriots officially hired Mike Vrabel to become their 16th head coach. Will, you're a huge sports fan, huge Patriots fan. What was your initial reaction to it?
I mean, it's pretty exciting, Drew. I think as a Patriots fan, it's kind of been the feeling around the fan base that for the past, 5 years, we haven't really had a direction as a franchise, really since Brady left. I mean, obviously, it's never going to be easy to transition out of the greatest quarterback of all time. However, the years with Mac Jones, the years with Gerard Mayo, and just uninspiring performances on the field, it seems like we really got away from the Patriots' identity in terms of doing your job and good football in between the lines, good special teams, no mistakes, good offensive line play. And to me, what I see most about this Vrabel hire is this is somebody that's from Belichick's tree, which I'm sure Gerard Mayo was too, but this is somebody who's from Belichick's tree, who's had success coaching in the NFL, and I think it's somebody that can come into your franchise and get us back on the right track. So that's what I'm excited about.
Will, or Brody, excuse me, you are a huge Giants fan.
Yes, I am.
We're talking about changes in administration, or lack thereof, really. Giants keeping on Brian Daboll and their GM. What
yes,
are your reactions to that?
Well, kind of piggybacking off what Will was saying with direction for a franchise, I think that starts with having a good quarterback. I think that's the most important thing for, the future and a, quote, direction. The Giants have said they have trust and shown in Daboll to make that selection if that's what they want to do at 3 or in free agency, as we were talking about. I think that you could go the Sam Darnold route. I mean, you look back in the previous free agencies, there's Kirk Cousins, not so good, that didn't work out. You look at the other quarterbacks that are similar to Sam Darnold and, Geno Smith, those type of QBs, and they haven't really won a lot. So I think that, I hope that this year is the year where the Giants finally take that franchise quarterback and then we can get to where the Patriots are at in terms of having a direction and being hopeful for the future. And I think the Giants roster might even be better currently than the Patriots roster. But if you're looking for the next 5 years, I think the Patriots have a brighter future as of today's date.
Yeah.
So you mentioned quarterbacks, and the Patriots have Drake May. That's what made the job so appealing. But the recent trend in the NFL is that there's these quarterbacks where it didn't work out with their originally drafted team. Sam Darnold is the latest example of that. So is the Giants' direction to go with that and try and find someone who didn't start out well and now they seem to be coming to their own, or is it to draft a quarterback?
Right, well, I think that just depends on how you have Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders ranked, because I've seen anything from fourth-round grades to, obviously top five, and I think they'll probably get drafted in the top 10 picks just based on QB positional value, but if you're the Giants, would you rather have Sam Darnold and Travis Hunter or just Shedeur Sanders? And I think that, at least for the Giants, it makes it a really interesting decision because, one, it's not a guarantee you hit on that quarterback. But if you do, I think you'd rather have a Shedeur Sanders that is a franchise quarterback than Sam Darnold and Travis Hunter. So I think that it's a super interesting offseason from the Giants' perspective. And I kind of like that we have the third pick because we have a lot of different options of where we could go.
Yeah, I would say one thing that would give me hope as a Giants fan is actually if you look back the last couple of years that this front office, the draft classes that they put together, I think they've done a really good job. I think Malik Nabers is an excellent prospect. I don't know a ton of names, but I think you got a slot cornerback and a running back who look pretty good.
Tyrone Tracy and
So I actually kind of agree with Giants ownership on keeping these two and trusting them to make the right decision at quarterback this year. And if that is going with a bridge quarterback for a year, maybe that's not the end of the world. I mean, I think the Patriots probably should have done that the year that they took Mac Jones. I think it probably would have been smarter to run it back with Cam Newton for a year and see where that got you. But I think there's hope for the Giants. I think you guys do have a better roster than us currently, although we'll see how it looks after free agency. So
Before I get to my next point that Will brought up, for those of you on the Instagram Live, at any point, feel free to invite yourself to live. We'll accept. You can call in, ask any questions you want during the conversation with us three. And Will, we mentioned Brian Daboll, mm-hmm. and we were actually talking about this before the show, is that last year Moore, he had these temper tantrums.
Right.
And then you look at Gerard Mayo, who he had, who never showed any emotion on the sideline.
Right. The opposite.
And our new coach, Mike Vrabel, is this alpha male persona who's, like,
right.
buff and, like, he's imposing.
He doesn't have the emotions. Like, I mean, he does, but it's in a different way. I think that Daboll was really successful in channeling that emotion his first year. And when we were winning, everyone was fine with it because it doesn't really – you can do whatever you want when you're winning. I know that's, like, the classic cliche in sports, but I think it's true. Like, and then last year – not this year, where we were also terrible, but he got into under fire because he was having, like, meltdowns and like throwing headsets, and he cut that out this year and they still didn't win. So it's kind of like, I think you need to have a balance where you definitely need to have some passion for the game, but you're, again, like, you're the leader of the team. Like, you have to have a certain level of composure or else your team isn't going to be composed at the end of games and they're going to be emotional and lose.
Well, and I think the other aspect of that is regardless of your character that you display on the sidelines, what's more important actually is the character that we don't get to see as fans, and how your players speak about you, and how much your players are bought into playing for you. And I think there was a lot of question marks about that from the Giants this year. I think Malik Nabers seemed uninterested at times, I think.
100%.
And you have to figure out a way to get those young players inspired again to play. And I think one of my favorite parts about Brian Daboll is that in his history, his players have loved to play for him. So
we did have our first guest for a minute, but
we lost him.
We lost him. So let's just continue our conversation. And I want to talk about Robert Kraft. And you've all listened to my show a lot. You know I'm not a big fan of him. But I first want to talk about the process of going through getting a head coach. And we all know there wasn't really one with Jerron Mayo. It was always the succession plan that he was going to take over and be the successor. And this time around, we only interviewed four candidates. Is it that Mike Vrabel is by far the best candidate, or was Robert Kraft, again, just had this confirmation bias where he put his mind on Mike Vrabel and said, he's the guy no matter who else we interview?
Yeah, so I think the Krafts have actually come under a lot of criticism about this. After the hiring and how quick the process was and all the stuff with the Rooney Rule and stuff like that. And I think, personally, I think maybe a lot of it comes from Patriots fans' memories of how short of a process it was with Gerard Mayo. I think there's no denying 1 year post the Gerard Mayo hiring that that was the wrong decision. I think Robert Kraft did not expect Bill Belichick to leave as early as he did. I think that how bad the Patriots were playing kind of forced his hand, and he, for some reason, had that succession plan in place, and he thought that Gerard Mayo could be the next Belichick, and he couldn't. And he failed, and Patriots fans have to accept that. It's not what we wanted to happen this year, but it's the reality. And what's also the reality is that you have a former coach of the year who is in the Patriots Hall of Fame, who was an unbelievable player for us and a very, very good coach for Tennessee. He has a winning record. He brought Ryan Tannehill to the playoffs, to the AFC Championship, and he loves the Patriots. So I feel pretty good about it.
Before we get to the next point, our first guest is back. Cole, hopefully we can hear you. Have any questions you want to ask? We talked about it a little. We can go around again, but I'm all for the coaching, the signing, just because if you look at his persona, who he is as a person, he's very demanding, he's buff, he's an alpha male. There's been a lot of times people call him the sheriff in town, and so every decision's going to go through him. He's going to bring in people that want to be there, that care about the team. It's not these prima donnas that you see a lot coming out of college. And so I think this team's going to turn around. I think we can't get our hopes up that it's going to be next year we're in the playoffs, but I think we're on an upward trajectory.
Yeah, I would say the Patriots are in kind of a unique situation because a lot of the different aspects of a team that usually take the longest to have secure, I feel like we actually have secure. Like, obviously, the quarterback position, you'd hope Drake May's the guy for the next maybe decade. And should Vrabel be prove himself, then you have a very good head coach. And sometimes that connection of coach and quarterback is the hardest to get. Obviously, there is the downside of a pretty severe lack of roster talent, which is kind of frightening. But we have $130 million in cap space. Vrabel has put together some pretty good draft classes before, so I think we're looking good.
I mean, yeah, if you look across the league, I think you can just take a look at this playoffs and see the example of that quarterback and coach matchup. I mean, the last two Super Bowls the Chiefs have won, it's Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. You go back, it's Belichick and Brady. You know, if you want to, you can throw a bunch of different examples out there, but I think it starts at quarterback and it starts with the coach. And if you have those two things right, it makes winning 20 times easier than if you don't have it right.
100%.
100%. Anything you want to add, Cole? Right. Thank you for joining the show. Again, anyone that wants to come on, do exactly what Cole did. Feel free to ask a question. But we can continue this because we can talk more about Vrabel and what makes teams. So Vrabel was asked about Eli Wolf. And actually his first answer to, I think, the first question was that him and Eli Wolf have this sort of collaboration. And we know that Elliott's new grading system hasn't been fully invoked. It wasn't really used last season. It was more of a Bill Belichick type draft. So now it's an Eli Wolf draft coming up in April. So, are you all for the collaboration with Elliott Wolf, or do you think we need to pivot and hire someone new?
I think there's a lot of question marks with it. I think there's a couple of reasons to be worried about it. We know that the reason that Mike Vrabel was disgruntled with the Titans organization was they were struggling to give him the GM capabilities that he wanted to have. we don't know how good of a GM Elliott Wolf is going to be. I think it's evident, looking at the draft class last year, that it was a Belichick draft. I think Jalen Polk is a Belichick pick. Belichick, for some reason, was unable to draft receivers in the first two rounds. So you'd hope that those kinds of issues go away, but you don't really know. Vrabel has brought over, I think he was from the Giants front office at the time,
yeah.
But he was also from the Titans front office. I'm not totally sure what his name is, but so Vrabel will have people on his side there as well. So the hope is that they can come together and collaborate, but it'll be interesting to see how it goes. That could be the biggest problem, I think.
And then we skipped over this point. I just want to go back. We mentioned that Dable was staying on. And other than the fluke of what was that season just a few years ago, your initial reaction to that, are you happy with that? Do you think we should move on? And let me add, do you think the head coaching candidate pool that's out there that you could hire, is that, are the people there that you think could replace Dable?
Right. I mean, kind of piggybacking off what Will said, you need to have some type of cohesion between the general manager and the head coach. So I think the Giants went into this offseason, and you look at Joe Shane and what he's done. His first two drafts, meh. You know, a few good players. Kayvon Thibodeau, Evan Neal was a massive bust in the first round. Deontay Banks, meh. Potential. This draft, Neighbors, I mean, he nailed this draft up and down. I mean, the first five picks were starters. The first two rookies over 1,000 scrimmage yards since 1970, you know, all that. They lost a bunch of games. So you got the Giants, I think, went into this offseason, were like, do we want to take away Dable from Shane or fire Shane? But I think it just creates more problems than not. Like, I feel like you need to have a GM and a head coach that are kind of together. So I think if I were the Patriots, I would have considered firing Elliott Wolf, just because if you're going to bring in Vrabel, and I just said he's this alpha male who wants to be a GM, like, that's just a recipe for disaster if they disagree. And going back to what you were saying about Dable, you really look at the head coaching. The only, like, coach I think that I've even heard names come up in talks at this point is Ben Johnson. And there's no way he'd want to come to the Giants. I mean, it was clear that he wanted a quarterback. So Dable won coach of the year. He's proven he can do it with a way worse roster. I mean, I think that they probably made the right choice in sticking it out for this year. And then if it doesn't work next year, then they have to be gone. That's 4 years. At a certain point, they're just not the right fit.
Yeah, I mean, the unfortunate part about the Giants is it's this year or no year.
Right, like, exactly.
You have the good roster. You maybe have the coach and the GM. If you can get the quarterback and things look good, then you can keep it together next year. But if it doesn't, then you have to blow up the entire roster. Right. And that's
and it's a good and bad place to be, because the head coach and the GM both know this is it. So they're going to try and make win-now moves. But sometimes that can be, like, down the line in 3 years, we'll look at the season and say it set us back in those 3 years.
And
just
I mean,
like
I think that's
the 2022
what
season.
This year.
Yeah, no, 100%.
It was a win now year. You had to win to Daniel Jones to look good, and it just didn't work out. No.
And I just want to bring up, just think about this, is I want to bring up the aspect of the fans, because me and you went to that Giants-Saints game together in December, and we were able to roam around the stadium and do whatever we want, sit wherever we want. There was 10% full. And in Gillette Stadium, we hear the Fire Mayo chants, and we hear the boos. So when you're running an organization...
Lost a lot of money on my season tickets.
Yeah, exactly that. And in markets such as New York and Boston, which are huge, passionate fans, at some point, do you have to give in to that? Or is it just, you know, the fans want to lose, so we're going to lose for them. But at the end of the day, I'm a player, and even though we're playing the Bills C team, players want to win, and so they went out and won.
I mean, responding to that question, I don't know, I'm sure this blew up on social media, but the Giants, like, had fans flying, like, planes telling them to, like, sell the team and blow it up. And I think it's a really hard balance because at a certain point, like, the Giants weren't going to win the Super Bowl this year, and they wanted to try and win. But, like, the fans, once we get past week five and we're 0-5, they know we're not winning the Super Bowl. And it kind of gets to the point where I know the players want to win, but for the direction of the franchise, they obviously need to lose. And I think that that intersection is where it becomes really tough to run a team, because you want to win and you want to make moves to win the game this week. But then the fans are like, why are we winning? You know, or then even to the point where, sell the team. Like, it just spirals really quickly based on one season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually tend to carry the belief that regardless of a team's record, every single week the goal needs to be to win the football game. I think no matter what, regardless of draft position, a win is better for the franchise than a loss. And I think part of it is what you're saying. I think that when fans get angry, and whether fans know it or not, they get more angry about a loss than a win that messes up draft capital. And when fans get angry and demand the team to blow up, it's true, eventually the ownership has to listen. And if you have a team where you keep throwing together different groups of people in the front office and the head coach, and every year the fans clamor for them to lose because you're trying to get a better draft pick, you're never going to reach success that way. And also, when it comes down to it, the draft is gambling. And so you can have a higher pick, but that is no guarantee that you're going to get a better player. I mean, in my opinion, Caleb Williams is the worst out of Drake May and Jaden Daniels.
I think that's
a
fact.
So it's a perfect example of the Bears lost more games than the Patriots. I guess it was the Panthers' pick, but and it didn't put them in a better position to get a better player. So I think you always need to win games.
So speaking of the draft, we put out this poll on the Instagram that what should the Patriots do? Should we go offense, defense, both Travis Hunter, or trade back? And the common decision was Abdul Carter, Burns, and then there was a lot of people that said trade back from the fourth pick, try and get a haul. What are your opinions?
It's an interesting position to be in at number four. I would love to end up with Abdul Carter. He's my favorite player in the entire draft. I think he's an excellent player. I think he's one of the only true blue chip prospects in this draft. I think there's a pretty good chance he's not there at four. And if he's not there at four, I think the Patriots need to build through the trenches, so maybe you go tackle. The two top tackle prospects in this draft are not very good. I'm personally pretty scared of Teterona McMillan. He's an excellent prospect. There's a lot of things to like about him. I want a fast receiver. As the Patriots, I think we've drafted too many slow receivers. We'll see what happens. Maybe he'll be good. I don't think you're going to be able to get a package for four. I don't know what, unless maybe Travis Hunter is still on the board at four, I don't know what player a team is going to be trading up to get at four.
So it's more of a April mid-round trade back compared to, like, in a week or two.
It would probably be in draft.
In draft.
I would be shocked if a team gave up, unless it was a team around in the 20s, I would be shocked if a team...
You're not getting a first round pick.
Right, if a team gave up anything for number four, I would be shocked.
In case the Giants, you need a quarterback. It's not a great quarterback class. So at what point do you draw a line if maybe Cam Ward, Shador Sanders isn't available, that you say we're either going to go with another position or try and get a haul and do it the following year?
I mean, I think that from a front office perspective, trading back right now for the Giants probably doesn't move the needle, in my opinion, just because we've seen it before. You move back, you punt it down the line another year, you know, you get, what, 15th? You know, who knows how far moving back. But either way, you get, let's say, an extra first-round pick and that player. The Giants did it. And again, like Will said, the draft is gambling. Like, if you love a guy, you have to stick there and take him. Just because the Giants traded back, they got picks 5 and 7. They got Thibodeau and Neal, who were the consensus one at edge and tackle. Everyone thought they were can't-miss prospects. Neal's a bust, and Thibodeau is still, the jury's still out on him. He had a down year this year. He was much better than everyone gave him credit for last year. But regardless, I think that at a certain point, if you're the Giants, it's QB, it's Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter's a generational prospect. He's the kind of guy, you pair him up next to neighbors and you play him on defense. Like, I think that sounds perfect to me. And I think that even if you, Shador and Cam Ward, don't have that first-round grade that you need to draft him, at a certain point, like, positional value, I'd almost argue that you need to make that pick if one of them falls, because there's a chance that they could be a superstar.
So you're saying best player available would be.
I think so, and I think that you almost have to rate Travis Hunter and Cam Ward 15 points higher than they would be rated just because of the position.
Yeah, sure. That term came into my mind. I think the Patriots need to draft best player available. Sure. We have such a deprived roster of talent. We can't be drafting for need, and Belichick. I don't even know. Belichick's drafts have been so bad.
Right. I feel like
Strange in the first round. Yeah. Like, we just need to move away from that.
Right, drafting for need is a recipe for failure. I feel like
unless,
the Giants,
unless you're the Kansas City Chiefs,
right?
Or a Super Bowl contender.
Like going back to Thibodeau and Neal, like those were everyone was like, oh, they need edge and tackle, and then you see what happens. They take the edge and tackle, and then that's it. And they could have taken. I need to brush up on that draft specifically, but like, you know, I'm sure there was players they missed out on that. Oh, Micah Parsons, like when they traded back.
Yeah,
that's a perfect example. They traded back to get Kadarius Toney, complete bust. Micah Parsons didn't have a fit. That's what all the people pundits with the Giants, and look at Micah Parsons now. Yeah. I'm sure
now
he
destroys
fit.
The Giants.
I'm sure he would fit on the Giants now.
Yeah, I'm sure he would.
So we reached about halfway through our show, so I do want to pivot. But again, if you're on the Instagram Live, feel free to request to join, or you can send me a text. I have my phone next to me. Feel free to send me a text or any of them a text. We'll be happy to answer any of your questions. But let's expand. Wildcard weekend just happened. We watched every game in our room together.
We did.
Most of them were boring games, except for that Commanders-Bucks game on that Sunday night. So why don't we go through a couple games? Let's start with the best game of the weekend. Let's start with Commanders-Buccaneers. And what was your initial reaction to that game after it concluded?
Impressed with the Commanders, of course. I had bet on the Buccaneers to win. I just thought rookie quarterback, pretty sprung together roster. I thought it was a recipe for a first round exit, but I mean the team's 12-5. Like, they had a very good season. Jaden Daniels, say what you will about him, but he's an excellent quarterback. He is. There's no way around it. He's the best quarterback in the draft, and I say that with Drake May is my hopeful quarterback for the future, and I'm very excited about that. But Jaden Daniels played excellent with not that much talent around him. I was extremely impressed with Bobby Wagner. Bobby Wagner, I think, runs that defense. I think he's given that defense an identity. And he's old, man. He's the experience really uplifts that roster. And that's in a league where everybody talks about youth, it's interesting to see something like that happening. I'd be pretty scared as a Buccaneers fan. I don't totally know where you're going with that franchise. Is Baker Mayfield really your guy? That offense, you got two weapons that are reaching their 30s. Bucky Irving looks good. That defense has got a lot of holes. It's a tough position to be in for the Buccaneers.
So I have a family member, huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and to me, the Steelers and the Buccaneers are similar. Not exactly the same, but Steelers are 0-5 in the playoffs last 8 seasons. First round knockout. It seems like the Buccaneers, after that Super Bowl win, that's the trend that's coming about.
Sure.
And we saw, I'm just going to compare them to the Bruins. We saw the Bruins, a couple of first round knockouts. They fired their coach.
Yeah.
Is the change always to fire your coach, or should the change of the Buccaneers and Steelers be they just have to be more aggressive in the offseason?
I mean, I think when you're looking at those two teams, part of it has to do with, at least with the Buccaneers, the division they're in is super weak. So they're always going to be trying to make the playoffs. So from that perspective, you understand like the moves they've made. And I think winning in the playoffs is just more challenging than people make it out to be.
That's true.
And you just take a look at the roster. Chris Godwin's going to be a free agent after this year. Mike Evans, 1,000 yards every year. He's getting up there in age. Who knows how long that can last. He was very close to not getting the 1,000 yards. To me, there just isn't enough talent on that roster. And I think that it kind of brings us back to the point we were talking about before as a fan. Like, do you want them to push to make the wild card? I think yes. Like, as a fan, you'd rather them make the playoffs and lose and be where the Giants or Patriots are at. So can you really be too disappointed with that type of season?
Yeah.
To the extent where you would fire a coach or make a move like that? I don't think you really can, because you make that move and, yeah, like, you could, it could push you farther forward in the playoffs, but I think more likely that sets you back. And those kind of moves are if you want to reset. But I think the Buccaneers still have the talent to push the Falcons, the Saints, Panthers. Like, they can push for a division title. The Giants, you're in a division with the Eagles, the Commanders, the Cowboys. You kind of have to have that front-end talent to even be considered for the playoffs. I think it's a interesting situation where the division you're in and the scenarios and the teams that you play makes a big difference.
I think it's two franchises that are, which is, I understand, kind of contradictory to my point from before, but suffering from winning, especially on the Steelers side. And obviously, Tomlin is famous for never having had a losing season. However, I think Tomlin would have had a lot more success if he had had a couple of losing seasons.
I think that's fair.
I mean, his draft picks haven't been very good.
I'll start right there. Do you have a question for us?
Yeah. What are some big goals and aspirations
for this new year, man? Now it's the new year. Got to keep the podcast going and growing. So what are your new aspirations for this new year, 2025? Yeah, good question. We're just hoping to grow the podcast.
Yep.
My internal goal is just to up the viewer numbers, get a more engaging content, grow the social media. Absolutely loving having Will and Brody here. Hopefully it becomes a weekly thing. I think they have great takes. I think we can get up there and maybe, you know, grow our popularity.
Who knows?
Get noticed.
Maybe we can get monetized.
Maybe we can get monetized. But yeah, thank you for your question.
Yeah, man, no worries. I don't
want to leave this, so I don't get so loud in here. I don't understand. We'll get back to what we were talking about
Good work.
Now, these teams are so used to winning and the divisions they're in that it kind of puts you into this loophole,
right?
As we kind of got thrown off on that question a little bit.
What did you say at the end?
I have no idea. We kind of got thrown. We were talking about our New Year's resolutions. It's been 2 weeks into January, so.
A little late,
but it's okay. But we'll get back to, you know, that's the point when you go live. I guess we're dealing with everything. So new challenges on the show, but we can get back to what we were talking about.
What's the viewer count at right now?
You know, we've been fluctuating. We've been to the double digits. We're getting up there.
What were we talking about? Suffering from winning, right? I think they've had some uninspiring draft picks and free agent signings. I think any team with Russell Wilson as their quarterback in 2025 can't have serious Super Bowl aspirations, and maybe Baker Mayfield is in that conversation too. I think those two franchises are in a hard position where are you really going to have another 9-8 year and get first rounded in the playoffs?
Right.
Maybe. I don't know. You need an elite difference maker.
I'm actually going to ask you a question here, Drew.
Yeah.
So I think the most anticipated game of the weekend is definitely the Ravens-Bills game.
Yeah.
The 2-3 seed. I mean, you could have an argument for – I think it's pretty clear-cut, actually. I don't really think there's an argument, but – how do you foresee that game going, and who do you like more?
You think
Josh Allen, Lamar?
Who's gonna win?
I don't think I'm asking Drew.
Yeah.
I think I'm not really sure what I think.
I struggle to believe that the Bills' run defense can stop Derrick Henry and Lamar Stevens. And I think Lamar Jackson. I was in the Celtics. Lamar Stevens, you know, he won the championship with us last year. I feel like the game's gonna go. I think the run game of the Ravens spear, but I also think the air raid that Josh Allen imposes on the Ravens defense will be imposing. But I'm hesitant to say that it's going to be a high scoring game, because I feel like when in any sport we talk about that these are the two highest scoring offenses, they have great offense, it's going to be a high scoring game. In reality, it doesn't usually. It's usually more of a defensive battle, because something goes some way, and the great offensive game we think we're going to get doesn't always tend to be the case. And that's not saying this game's going to be that,
right.
But It's whoever's going to make the stop.
I actually think I completely agree with you. Because you look at what you're saying with the Ravens and their run offense against a bad run defense. The way sometimes those games work out is that the Ravens will make a long drive down the field, score a touchdown. You know, 3 minutes left in the first quarter, the Bills go right back down and score. It's 7-7. You know, then all of a sudden you get a stop, you get another stop. And I feel like when there are two really good teams that meet in the playoffs like this, it becomes almost a battle of the quarterbacks and who can will their team to win. And I feel like in a lot of those games, it's not massively high scoring. I think that's a good take.
It happens in every sport.
I could see the game being like 22-25 or
I see that, yeah.
Interestingly, I could be wrong here. I haven't looked at the Bills' run defense in a while. I'm pretty sure the Bills have really, really good run defense.
No, they're bad this year.
Okay. Well, second half of the year, the Ravens' secondary is the best in the league.
Yes.
The best secondary in the league.
They were really bad, though.
Yeah, they were, but then they made some kind of a change. I think they moved Kyle Hamilton back to safety or something like that.
Right.
They have the best pass defense in the league right now. And so I think if the Bills are going to win this game, keep in mind they already lost 35-10 to the Ravens earlier this season, it's going to be, I think James Cook is going to have to do a lot. And I think obviously Josh Allen is going to have to be unbelievable, which he is oftentimes in the playoffs. If you're talking about a battle of the quarterbacks, I trust Josh Allen a lot more in the playoffs than I trust Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson has not proven himself in the playoffs.
Exactly. I 100% agree with that.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting.
I think that this is the game where you can – if Lamar Jackson loses this game, this is a game where you can now officially make this the take that he's a playoff joker.
He's a playoff joker. I think you can already make
it. You already can, but I feel like – you still need, like, at least a, like, at this point, he's had enough runs where it's, like, a guarantee.
I think that Ravens team absolutely should have beaten that Chiefs team last year.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
That Chiefs team was not very good.
In terms of talent on offense, the Ravens with that two-headed monster with Lamar and Derrick Henry are the most talented team in the AFC this year.
I think they're the most talented team in football.
But fair.
The play calling by the Ravens needs to be the same as it was in the wild card. They had 21 first half runs.
Right. Last year against the Chiefs, they didn't run the ball.
They barely run the ball. Like, you have to start with the run, and if you have to wait till the run does not work to go to the pass, because you can't try and trick them and go to the pass. Like, the running is the staple of that offense.
And I mean, you have Derrick Henry, bro. Yeah. It's like,
He does not age.
No.
Refuses to age.
You can't get into the mind games that, like, we're going to try and trick them.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
But we talk about this division game. We have three other ones to get to. We'll stay in the AFC quickly.
Yeah.
We have the Houstons visiting the Chiefs. That's the first game of the divisional weekend. Chiefs have been off for 3 weeks. Does that matter?
No. I don't think so. I think I could see it being a more competitive game than people think it's going to be. I think there's a very little chance that Houston wins. However, I think more realistically, it's 10-35 or something like that. I think Chiefs are back at full strength. That Chiefs defense is unbelievable. If Chris Jones is playing, which it looks like he's going to be, the interior of the Texans offensive line is weak, and he's the greatest interior pass rush maybe of this generation besides Aaron Donald. So I don't know.
I think that you have to look at the Chiefs, and as much as we want to say Mahomes had a down year, it's Patrick Mahomes. He's won the last two Super Bowls. I think he's the best quarterback of our generation so far, at least like the past 5-6 years, other than Tom Brady. We all knew you're going to come back with that. But, like, it's Mahomes. Like, he has whatever that, like, QBs need in the NFL to win. And I feel like
he does.
Rooting against him in the playoffs is just a losing strategy. Yeah. And I think that, in reality, they're the most likely representative of the AFC in the Super Bowl this
year. Absolutely.
And I think that it's going to take a Josh Allen or a Lamar Jackson superhuman effort to beat the Chiefs, just because, as you were saying, they had the defense. Yeah. Like, you can argue the Ravens and Bills are just not as complete. And the Texans, I know for a fact, are not as complete as the Chiefs team is. And it's just so hard to pick against Mahomes and Andy Reid at home in the playoffs.
With that defense.
And the Texans have a great set of edge rushers. You know, they have Joe Mixon in the backfield. Nico Collins is a great wide receiver. I just don't see them.
Yeah, I think the Texans defense could give the Chiefs offense a really hard time. It's a Chiefs offense that's really struggled all year, and the Texans defense is coming off maybe their best performance of the year last week. However, I do not think that the Texans offense stands a chance against this Chiefs defense. I think they're going to eviscerate them.
And before we just move on to the NFC, I just want to add, I was reading about this, that because of that 3-week layoff, I think they'll get back to it in the snap of your finger. But if the Texans come out,
right, they need to start hot.
If they if they score quickly, then I think that puts the pressure on the Chiefs to come out of their sleepiness later. Yeah. But if the Texans are sloppy to begin with,
it's over.
They're opening the door, every single door in the world, to the Chiefs to come in.
Absolutely. And hey, I really thought the Chargers were going to beat the Texans last week.
I didn't
give the Texans much of a chance. So who knows? Maybe they.
I mean, if they can do to Mahomes what they did to Herbert,
right?
Maybe
they go on a Cinderella run and surprise a lot of people. Yeah. But I would say I'm confident in the Chiefs.
And let's quickly go over the NFC as we're getting to the end of our show today. First game, Lions and Commanders. Simple question. Can Jalen Daniels do it again?
I think it's a similar scenario. I think it's a very similar game to Houston, Kansas City, in a lot of ways, where the Commanders have talent on both sides of the ball. They're an up-and-coming team. It reminds me a lot of when the Giants in 2022 played the Eagles. Like, they were the one seed. The Giants were the sixth seed. It's kind of a similar thing. They beat, you know, a team. They were like the Buccaneers or a team like the Vikings. Where it's a good win, but I don't think you can put the Buccaneers on the same tier as the Lions. And I just don't think that Jaden Daniels yet. I mean, in a few years, sure, he might have the talent. But currently, right now, looking at the two rosters, I don't see Dan Campbell and Jared Goff losing this game.
To add on to that, I think it's the same but different in that Jaden Daniels and the offense can do a pretty good job against this banged-up Lions 100%. Defense. I think they're going to score a lot of points. I think the Commanders' defense doesn't stand a chance against the machine of an offense that Lions offense is right now. It's unbelievable. And in fact, we're talking about Chiefs are probably most likely out of the AFC, and I think the Lions are most likely out of the NFC, and I think that's going to be a really interesting matchup, a struggling Chiefs offense versus a struggling Lions defense, and then the two juggernauts on the other side of the ball. So, yeah, I think Lions are – I'd be surprised if any team in the NFC beats
I know
the
you,
Lions.
You got to hate the one seed versus one seed take, but at this point in football, we've seen it.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that – in the NFC – I mean, we can move on to the other game where we got Eagles.
Eagles-Rams,
right. Like, you look at those two teams, and one of them is being the Lions in the NFC Championship game, they really don't inspire that much confidence for me.
I mean Saquon Barkley is unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles have Saquon, RIP. big loss for the Giants this offseason. But, again, like, I think at a certain level, it comes down to quarterback play and Jared Goff versus Jalen Hurts, I think that's a pretty interesting argument. But I think I have to take Jared Goff at this point in time. And just looking at the roster, I feel that it's time that Lions fans finally made their first Super Bowl. I think that it's going to happen this year.
And I mean, when you consider, I could be wrong, Hutchinson might be back for the Super Bowl.
Yes, that too.
I think the Super Bowl, but Montgomery's going to be back for, I think, maybe even this
upcoming
game.
I think it is this game, they said, yeah.
And so, I mean, come on, man. That Lions offense is unbelievable.
Unreal.
I think the Eagles-Rams game, obviously, maybe the most exciting is Ravens-Bills, but I think the Eagles-Rams game maybe could end up being the closest game of the weekend. Yeah. I think those teams match up together pretty well. I think the Eagles offense has shown the ability to put up a lot of points, but their passing game has question marks this year. Obviously with Saquon, the running game is unbelievable, but when you're going up against an offense that can score in seconds like that Ram offense can, and the Eagles secondary is still their biggest question mark, I would be scared.
Do you trust Quinyon Mitchell on the outside, one-on-one against Cooper Kupp?
Or Puka Nacua.
I don't know.
I would be pretty scared if I was an Eagles fan.
And
right
I also, adding on, I think Matt Stafford is the most underrated quarterback in the NFL at this point. Obviously, he's won a lot. You know, he has a lot of stats, but
I think he's top 10 still.
He's bringing this Rams team
it's true.
To the playoffs. He's 5-1. I just saw that today. He's 5-1 in the playoffs with the Rams. Like,
the, yeah,
yeah
the,
he's a clutch.
Winner.
Because
There's not that many quarterbacks in the league that I think you can confidently say are an elite quarterback.
Yes.
And he's an elite
And I just don't think that he gets brought up in that conversation as much as he should.
No, I agree.
I agree. Well, because he's average regular season.
Right. I think he gets put in the same category as, like, the Geno Smiths and, like, that kind of quarterback.
And he's definitely...
I think he's closer to
Mahomes
than Jalen Hurts is.
Yeah. I mean, definitely.
Well... We've got a long time. Absolutely perfect. It was great having you on. I say we do it next week.
100%. Yeah, I'll be back.
I'll be here whenever you'll have me.
We have Celtics, Knicks to talk about. I'd love to talk golf with you. I know we're big golfers. Yep. But thank you both for joining.
Plenty of exciting shows coming.
Yeah, we have a great winter.
Thank you, fans, for watching.
Yeah. Maybe we'll go Tuesday, Thursday. Thank you for everyone watching. Feel free to DM any of us, DM the show. Happy to answer all your questions. Be out on Spotify within the next hour. Everyone have a good rest of your day and stay safe.
Lots of love.